You're listening to Gaze Gaze, in which we're gay, and we gaze into media that's by, for, or about ladies who love ladies, and sometimes we talk about other stuff. My name's Erin, and look, I'm not gay, but if I was, I might talk to her.
And I'm Erin. Turbulent, violently disturbed, unruly, that's you.
And annoying.
Thank you for joining me in doing Pariah today. I'm so excited.
Oh my God. This fucking year has been such a year for episodes of this podcast because we watched Bessie, which I was like, wow, this is one of the best things, if not the best thing that we've watched. And then we watched Pariah and I'm like sobbing and I'm like, I can't believe this is now the best thing that I've ever watched. Holy shit. Except it was so sad.
I know it. Pariah is a heartbreaking film, but it's so good. And it's so funny that you bring up Bessie because they're by the same director.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. Thank you, D-Reese, for
know. She is making the movies that we need in the world, honestly.
She's making D's treasures. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you loved it.
I know.
This was your first time watching it, but for me, I watched this movie back in 2017, and at the time I loved it, but I also kind of put it out of mind after I watched it, you know? So I hadn't really thought about it in a long time until we started doing this podcast, and I was like, wait, this would be a great one to talk about. And then we just kind of put it off until Samantha gave me the DVD copy for Christmas, and I was like, okay, well, let's do it.
So. Yeah. But yeah, if you want to watch Pariah, you don't have to have a DVD copy. You can watch it on HBO Max, just FYI.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I know that it's a part of the Criterion Collection, so I would assume that it's like up through HBO Max's Criterion collaboration.
Oh.
Yeah, I only know this because that's Sammy got me the Criterion DVD.
And this is like topical, I guess, maybe a little bit too topical for the podcast, but like Netflix is like just fired a bunch of people because their like subscriptions went down for like the first time in 10 years or something, which is just stupid to begin with because like it's never going to go up forever. So like don't fucking freak out or whatever. But also I do think that it's because like HBO Max has some really good stuff on it. So
yeah,
like Netflix isn't the only option anymore.
Right, exactly. You're so right. There's also just so many movie services that are free. Like, I watched Bessie on Tubi, just with, like, a couple of ads in the middle of it, which is so tolerable. Like, to be able to watch, like, a good movie for free just by having to watch, like, 4 or 5 ads total during the movie is not bad at all. Like,
yeah. Working at a startup, you get to see how, like, just ridiculous the kind of like culture around trying to keep investors happy is. It's it doesn't make any sense in the long run. Don't work for a startup, kids.
Work for an established company.
Yeah, don't work at all if you can avoid it.
I was just gonna say that'll suck your soul regardless.
It'll suck your soul. That's why I'm introducing Gaze Gaze Coin. Let's call Get Rich Together Gaze Gaze Coin to the Moon.
Gaze Gaze Metaverse, are you kidding me?
I'm so sorry.
Invest in the Bank of Erin.
Yeah.
We'll keep your money safe.
I have this very cool business idea. It's me and Erin at the top, and then you can get in under us, and then you can try to recruit more people under you, and then they'll recruit more people. it's a good idea.
And we're just selling the idea of lesbianism, right? Yeah. Like,
that's all. Actually, if you want to be a lesbian, you have to give us money now. No, that's not. Yeah. This is so stupid. I'm so sorry. No, but why is this? I'm like kind of sleepy.
No, I honestly am here for it. I'm feeling it.
This is stupid. I'm so sorry. Crypto is a scam. That is my official opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Especially NFTs, of which we're about to make 1,000. Yeah. And they're just different pictures of me and Erin, but they're slightly different in a AI-generated type of way. For example, this one might have a little emoji of a sailboat on it. I don't know.
Well, that's like our first launch. And then our second launch is we've put all of the gays episodes into an algorithm, and then they've jumbled up all the words, and then you get to you get to buy the NFT that's just a soundbite of like 1 second of nonsense. And somehow every single soundbite, even though it's supposed to be randomized, they're all about Nicolas Cage or Slimer.
The soundbite that you're going to get is going to be like, Kristen Stewart and Bill Murray are starring in a new Yuri with guns. And the way that we'll be able to pull this off is that every single fucking episode in Gays Gays has at least one mention of Bill Murray. So there's so much to pull from.
Like, oh my god. I called him Nicolas Cage because I forgot what his name was.
Oh, yeah, Mandy on the brain.
Oh my god. All right. Fucking incredible. I'm so glad that we share the same brain.
Yeah, we each get half of one brain, actually.
Like, instead of one of us getting each of one of the lobes, both of the lobes are cut in half and we eat half of a lobe. Anyway. All right. We're talking about Pariah. Yeah, you want to give a summary?
Yes, but I would also like to give content warnings.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
I think that the big two are for homophobic parents and for hate crimes.
Yeah.
Coming out and family rejection are really, really big themes in this movie. So just something to keep aware going in.
The highs are so high, but then the lows are so low.
I know. Okay, so Pariah was made in 2011 by Dee Reese. And it is about a middle-class Black high school student named Alike, who lives in Brooklyn with her parents, Audrey and Arthur, and also her little sister, Sharonda. Alike wears bedazzled baby tees and flare jeans when she's at home, but when she goes into school, she changes in the bathroom into oversized shirts and flat-bill snapback hats. At school, Alike is a top student who's excelling in English and writes amazing poetry, but after school, Alike lies to her parents about going to the movies while she actually goes to lesbian nightclubs with her best friend Laura, who recently dropped out of high school because she was kicked out by her mom and she had to move in with her sister and get a job to help her sister pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Alike's mom, Audrey, is a nurse at a local hospital, and she really smothers Alike and tries to force her to wear very feminine clothing. She doesn't understand why Alike always wants to dress like a boy, and she doesn't understand why Alike is missing some of the normal high school things that she went through, like having a boyfriend, going to homecoming and prom, etc., etc. Meanwhile, Alike's dad, Arthur, is a very level-headed police officer who considers both of his daughters to be daddy's girls. He loves them deeply, but when his friends point out that Alike is pretty masculine and looks like a lesbian, he chooses to live in denial about that. He's also very evidently cheating on Audrey, which is causing a lot of tension in their home.
Mm-hmm.
Audrey sets Alike up with her coworker's daughter, Bina, thinking that maybe Bina can set Alike straight. Literally. But Bina and Alike bond over loving a cozy night in with sapphic rock music, and Alike very quickly develops a crush on Bina, and she starts to hang out with Laura less and less as a result. One day, Bina suddenly kisses Alike, and she realizes that her crush was returned. Bina takes Alike to a house show, where they have a great night, and Alike brings Bina to meet Laura, who initially seems pretty unimpressed. Alike sits down with Laura, and she says that she's glad that Alike is finally happy because she loves Alike and she wants to see her happy, and then she leaves. And Alike is obviously very pained from this interaction.
Mm-hmm.
After the house show, Alike and Bina make out and most likely have sex, as when we cut to a scene where Alike wakes up the next morning, she says, "Last night was amazing."
Mm-hmm.
Bina, however, responds by kicking Alike out, saying that she's not gay. I'm just doing my thing, that's all. Alike leaves completely heartbroken, kicking over all of the trash cans on her street while she walks home. When she gets home, her mom yells at her for coming home so late. Alike yells at her back, then she goes to her room, destroying her belongings in anger before weeping and falling asleep on the floor. When she wakes up in the night, her parents are fighting over her, with her mother yelling at her father. Alike gets in the middle of their fight to try to break them up, when her mom tells her father that she's a, quote, nasty ass dyke. When her father begs her to say that it isn't true, Alike proudly yells, "I'm a lesbian, I'm a dyke," and her mom screams and begins to beat her. Her father physically pulls her off of Alike and outside of their home. Mm. Alike leaves that night and she goes to Laura, who comforts her. She stays at Laura and her sister's apartment and she doesn't return home. We see her family eating dinner without her. Her mother pretends everything is normal and no one's missing, but her father and sister are obviously disturbed and they miss her. Alike's father goes to see her at Laura's apartment. Alike reveals that she applied for and was accepted to an early college program and she wants to leave in just a few weeks. She just needs his signature to do it. He avoids her question and tells her, "You can always come back home. Things are going to be different, I promise you." And she tells him, "Dad, I'm not running. I'm choosing." Alike meets with her mom one final time. Her mom is curt and dry. When Alike says, "I love you, Mom," her mom doesn't respond, but instead closes her Bible. When Alike says, "I said I love you," her mom stands up and leaves, simply saying, "I'll be praying for you." Ugh. The film ends as Alike's father drives her and Laura to the bus stop to see Alike off for college. She hugs them both goodbye, and we cut to a scene of her reading poetry at her high school. She says, "Breaking is freeing, broken is freedom. I am not broken, I am free." And she smiles as she rides the bus to her new home. And that's where we end Pariah. Ugly crying.
It's ugly crying.
I know.
This is not a correction. Your description of Bina and Alike being like, it appears that they had sex. The like scene leading up to that, me and my girlfriend, when we were watching it, we were laughing because it's like so obvious that Bina is like very, very thirsty and like I want to have sex. And it's like a funny scene to watch. And then afterwards, like, it's like crashing down. It's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
But I will say it's cute.
Yeah. The reason that I say it appears that they did is because Alike stops her and is like, "I don't think I'm ready yet."
Yeah, that's fair.
So I don't know what they did on that night.
Yeah.
It appears as though they had sex. They
made a connection.
Yes. That was immediately destroyed very
and then
brutally.
Immediately destroyed Bina. Damn.
I know. Damn.
Oh my God.
I would love to talk about Bina, but let's table that for one minute to talk about Dee Reese a little bit more.
Yes.
And about the production of this film.
No, Aaron, we have to talk about it now.
Pariah was directed by Dee Reese, who also directed Bessie, which we just did an episode on a couple episodes ago. She also made Mudbound and The Last Thing He Wanted. Though I would say that Pariah is the movie that she is pretty well, if not best, known for. And I think that part of that is attributed to the fact that it's semi-autobiographical, and so she really comes at it from a perspective that the movie feels very authentic and real. It feels very like a very relatable film. Regarding how this film came to be, I watched an interview with Dee Reese on Go See Talk, where she said that she actually wrote the script back in 2005, so 6 years before the film actually was released. And she made it into a short film first because she needed a short film for her thesis at NYU in order to graduate. So she just took the first act of the script and shot it as a short film and released it. And so she released it and it got on this track that made it in front of Sundance. And Sundance saw the short film and they asked her if there was a full-length script sitting around. And so she said she dusted it off and sent it over to Sundance. She attended two different workshop days where they edited it and like completely overhauled it. And then they actually moved ahead and made it.
I'm so glad. Holy shit.
And at the time that she wrote the script, Reese was actually a student in Spike Lee's class at NYU.
Oh, wow.
And she said that she went to all of his office hours. She just like wanted to learn as much as she could from him. And she started interning for him while she was writing the script. So he, as she was writing it, would give her some feedback along as she was going. So he was advising her all along the way.
Oh, that, okay, so yeah, he was a producer on this movie.
Yeah, he was a producer on this movie. So what ended up happening was that he was obviously aiding her back in 2005 when the script was being written, but when they actually went to make the movie, he was still kind of serving as a mentor to her. So she basically called him up and was like, hey, would you like to be a producer and like help me fine tune the script, like edit everything in the final cut and everything. So he came on and served like in kind of a consultancy role as a producer for this film.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah. Another thing is that Adepero Oduye, who plays Alike in this movie, was actually one of the very first actresses to audition for the role. They did several days of auditions, but they just like kept coming back and comparing like to how did. And in, I guess specifically, one of the producers, after she did her audition, found her in the bathroom changing into more feminine clothing. And they were like, she's doing the scene.
Oh my God.
Like, she's the one. She's perfect for it.
That's actually incredible.
Yeah. And I guess, so I haven't seen 12 Years a Slave, but she went on to have like a very iconic role in that film pretty shortly after starring in Pariah.
Wow.
When asked in the interview what Pariah was all about, Reese said, Pariah is about identity. Strip away the race, strip away the sexual identity. It's just about a girl who's trying to be herself. And everybody who has ever struggled with identity can relate to it. It's something anybody can look to and kind of see that inspiration that it's okay to not check a box and it's okay to just be yourself.
Yeah.
And when asked, like, what did she want people to take away from this film? Reese said, experiences that are painful or that you feel break you can be the same experiences that free you.
Oh, God.
I know.
It's true, but it's so sad.
I know.
Especially just like that it was like semi-autobiographical. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want anybody to ever have to go through this shit.
I know. I just like, I can't imagine having a child and having your love for them be that, like, just conditional like that.
Yeah.
And it sucks because like that's just how it is in some families.
I know. I am so ready to talk about Alike's mom in a little bit.
Man.
But before we do that, I want to make one more point about the film Pariah, and it is its comparison to Moonlight.
Yes, I saw this in your notes.
All right, well, I'm so excited to hear your opinion about this. So Moonlight is a film that came out in 2016. If you don't know what it is, essentially it's a coming-of-age story about a young black boy in Miami, I believe, or coastal Florida. It's like a coming of age story about him coming into his gay identity as somebody who was bullied for appearing gay as a kid, and how that bullying, especially in high school, pushed him deep into the closet, as well as the abuse that he experienced from his mother, who was struggling with a drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very touching movie. It is a queer coming of age story about a young black mask kid, but I think that the comparisons with Pariah kind of end there.
Yeah.
It's so funny, even though Pariah came out 5 years before Moonlight and is often said to have paved the way so that a film like Moonlight could happen and be taken seriously in Hollywood. Pariah is now often known to many people as like the female version of Moonlight, something to watch after you watch Moonlight if you're looking for more content that's like Moonlight, which negates how much this movie stands on its own. and all of the different and powerful shit that this brings to the table. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's not derivative. It is its own thing. And it came first.
Exactly. And Moonlight isn't derivative of Pariah either.
Yeah, exactly.
Not in the slightest. Like I said, the comparisons end that it is a coming of age story about like a young queer black kid.
And the way that they're formatted as movies too are so different. Like Moonlight is broken up into like three like time periods, and Pariah like takes place over like a month or two.
Yeah. The other thing, so I decided to do a double feature because just rip my heart out, right?
Yeah.
Like I sat down and I watched Pariah, and then I immediately turned on Moonlight as soon as I finished. Chiron and Alike have such different upbringings, and they face homophobia in such different ways. Like, mm-hmm. the way that Alike approaches things is that she kind of has to accept the social consequences of coming out so that she can be true to herself where she's at, right? Meanwhile, Chiron faces so much external homophobia that it causes him to internalize it, right? And repress his identity, which is just a very, very different outcomes from similar external factors.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to like look at those two movies like in that aspect, but... Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're, two separate things.
Yeah. And I would say that also Pariah really focuses on individual growth and coming into your identity, whereas Moonlight focuses more on the connection that you have with other people and how that changes you. Like with Chiron at the very end saying to his middle school crush who he reconnects with, like, I've never been touched by anybody else since you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Alike obviously... goes off on her own to do her own thing and come into herself.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I think that they're so different. They're both beautiful films, both worth watching, but yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Audrey, Alike's mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I think it's a very like nuanced portrayal of a character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You see her in the beginning and she's like, I guess she's seeking understanding of a person who like doesn't exist. Like she's seeking understanding of like what she wants her daughter to be.
Yes.
And like, it's like, I wonder why like she's not like doing the things that I expect her to do. And like why she doesn't like the clothes that I buy her and why she doesn't wear the clothes that I buy her. And also with the father. Yeah. With Arthur. Her having a husband who his excuse is that he's at work all the time, but he's very obviously cheating on her and doesn't really even seem to like have any like love or respect for her anymore. Mm-hmm. She like puts out a plate of food for him every night, which he then like completely throws into the trash, even like including the plate, which is just ridiculous.
I know.
And so rude. I don't know. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think that Audrey is such an interesting character because she's so humanized when normally if we're talking about a homophobic parent in media and we're supposed to sympathize with a child, then we get a parent that is completely villainized, right?
Yeah.
That is the evilest person that's ever existed. Mm-hmm. Audrey is somebody who at the start of the film could be on the fence towards making good decisions and respecting her child. But given all of the circumstances that keep hitting her thing after thing, Sharonda acting up, because that kid is getting into trouble. her husband cheating on her and her struggling to understand where Alike is coming from. It just like causes her to completely shut herself off. Right. And like,
no, I guess so.
It's so interesting. It's like, I'm not saying you should sympathize with her, but I'm saying that she's humanized, right?
Right. No, like, I completely agree.
And we get a motive
agree.
And understanding for her along the way. I think the actress also does such an incredible job.
Yes.
Like getting, oh my goodness. She is like truly a star here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree with you. And I think too that like it makes the ending like hit so much harder because you kind of almost, I don't know, you because she has been so like humanized and you get to see her so often and you get to see how she struggles, like you almost, I don't know, it's you don't really necessarily expect it to happen, even though or for her to like reject her daughter in such a way, because
I know, and you want her to accept Alike, especially as Alike is sitting there like, I love you mom, I still love you, and her mom just like doesn't return it and just leaves. It's so hard and it's so funny too watching her father step up into that role as a supportive parent after she comes out, after her father has been completely absent for her childhood, has like not cared what her mom put her through, and
has been like in denial.
Yes, I was just gonna say, and has been in denial, especially as his friends were very openly homophobic towards his daughter.
Yeah.
I think it's like he very obviously saw it, but he didn't want to believe it. And that is also hammered down when they're in the middle of the fight and he's like, say it isn't true, Alike. Like, say that you're not gay. Yeah. And she's like, no, I am. Like,
yeah. Actually, can you explain this comment to me? There's like a point in the movie when they're at a like party store or like convenience store and Alike goes in to get some chips and stuff, and then Arthur's outside talking to his friends, and one of his friends is like, they're talking about his daughter, and they're like, we'll like show her like what the 50s were like or something. Did you understand that comment?
No. The lavender scare. Oh my god.
Oh duh.
The lavender scare. McCarthyism.
I should have known.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay. What a deep cut comment.
Yeah, like, I know.
Like maybe it's not if you're like that age.
Yeah.
Like maybe it makes more sense for people who are old enough to have children and like 2000 and
yeah.
But that was
let me explain this a little bit more, maybe for folks who don't have the American history background, as we have a lot of international listeners. But in short, the Lavender Scare was a period in the 1950s in America that followed McCarthyism, or the Red Scare, the fear of communists, and the witch hunt for communists in America, right? So in the 1950s, there was a similar movement to witch hunt LGBT people under the Lavender Scare. So that's my guess as to...
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I figured it had to be something like that. I should have just Googled.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my god, what a deep cut insult.
Yeah, man. And I guess that also makes sense given the fact that, let's bring up something that we talked about again in the Bessie episode of terminology that is not commonly used nowadays, when he's in the gas station.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he confronts Laura or another person from the lesbian bar. I cannot remember if that was Laura or not.
I can't either. But yeah, but somebody
from the lesbian bar across the street comes in and he yells at them and calls them a bulldagger.
Yeah.
Which was a very common term used in the 1910s, 1920s, 1930s for a black butch lesbian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the convenience store and the lesbian is there.
Is it Laura? I don't know.
I can't remember if it was Laura or not. I feel so stupid. One of Arthur's friends is being homophobic towards this woman, and she's ignoring him. And then he's like, are you a lesbian because pussy tastes so good, or is it because you're a crusty ass woman? And
I got the exact quote.
Oh, yeah, give it to me.
He says, how does pussy taste? Do you only like women because you're so ugly a man will never love you?
Yeah.
And they respond, I can't lie, the pussy does taste good. We should try it sometime. Or better yet, you could ask your wife how much she liked me.
Yeah.
Then he screams at her, calls her a bulldagger, a he, she, a dyke. And Alike's dad and their other friend laugh and tell him that he just runs his mouth off too much.
Yeah.
And that's when he says, of course you wouldn't defend me because your daughter's a dyke. And,
yeah.
Then Alike's dad physically attacks him and says he should arrest him, but he doesn't.
I know. For what?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Alike's dad is a police officer also.
Yeah. Which is true of Dee Rees as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Her father was a police officer.
Oh, interesting.
Both Arthur and Audrey are so interesting for being homophobic parents in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also interesting because there's a through line of the whole movie where Alike's mom keeps being like, Arthur, you need to talk about that thing that I was telling you about with our daughter. Like, did you ask her? And Arthur keeps being like, no, I didn't ask her. I don't need to ask her. I don't know the answer. Then eventually Alike, she wakes up in the middle of the night when Arthur has like come home and finds him like talking on the phone to what is very obviously his
girlfriend.
His girlfriend. and they kind of have a heart-to-heart moment. And at the end of it, he like very uncomfortably, he starts to ask her, are you a lesbian, but can't do it? And then he's like, oh, have you heard about the like lesbian bar that's over by the convenience store, and she's like, no, I've never heard of that. And he's like, okay, good, don't go there. Like, it's in a bad neighborhood. Like, you don't want to associate with those people, mm-hmm. too.
The big thing, too, is that they're having this heart-to-heart because she's like, there's somebody that I have a crush on.
Yeah, oh my because God.
Because it's about Bina. And
he's like, I'm so glad that you have a boyfriend. Yeah. What's his name?
Well, yeah, she says explicitly, what if, say, someone liked you? They haven't said anything yet, but what if the person is kind of a friend, but you know that they like you more than that? And he says, I think that's the best way to start is friends. What's his name? What grade is he in? I'm going to look his ass up in the system. Wait until I tell your mama. She'll be so goddamn happy. And that, like, you see it just hit her when she's just like...
I know.
Like, the absolute heartbreak that she can't tell him because he is, like, so invested in this, like, false reality that he has about her being straight.
I know. Yeah. Just, like, she was trying to open up and be seen by him and just, like, whoop, right over his head.
Yep. And her being gay and him cheating on his wife are the two things that neither of them can have an open conversation about. So it's like they're both coming to the table with something that neither one of them, both of them know, but neither one of them wants to admit. You know?
I know.
Which I think might also contribute to the fact that they were able to bond after Alike came out, because he's like, well, I've been hiding some shit too. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Oh my God. And then the scene, I'm not sure if it was the scene directly after that. I don't think it was. The next scene with Arthur is Audrey is at home on the couch, like waiting for Arthur to come home because they never get to see each other. And she's in this incredible, like, lingerie nightgown, very sexy. and he, like, comes in. And so she, like, she doesn't want it to be like she was waiting up for him. So she, like, pretends to be asleep. And he, like, totally ignores her and goes and sits in, like, a chair that's not near the couch that she's laying on. And then she, like, pretends to wake up and she's like, oh, you want to come sit by me? And he's like, no, here's fine. And it's just like, man. It was so sad because, like, oh my God, she looks so sexy and her, like,
I know,
so, like, red, like, lingerie. Like, damn, how cold hearted can you be, dude?
I think that Audrey's whole thing is that she thinks that everybody is pushing her away. Because Arthur genuinely is, but she thinks that Alike is as well, just by virtue of being gay and being different. She, like, can't accept that, right?
I know.
Do you want to talk actually about Alike herself?
Yeah, we should. Oh, and we haven't talked about Laura at all yet.
Where would you rather start? Laura, Bina, or Alike?
Let's start with Alike.
Alike is such a sweet and fun character. Mm-hmm. I just love her. I love that we get to see this transition of her from being very awkward and uncertain about herself into, like, knowing herself and what she stands for and being willing to stand up for herself, not take people's shit. And I think that you get that from her background, like, working with her teacher, and from seeing Laura as kind of, like, a role model. And, like, I don't know. It's just so good.
It's so good. Do we want to talk about... I was laughing so hard, but also cringing. The strap-on.
Yeah, I do want to talk about the strap-on scene. So in short, Alike... She hears a girl in school gossiping about her. The girl is like, Alike, she, like, is pretty cool. She could be AG and she could be hot, but she's not quite tough enough. So, like, don't think I'm totally into her. So Alike is like, oh my God, that girl is into me. Like, I need to be tougher and cooler and I have to be really ready to be AG. And so she asks Laura, I mean, and this is kind of sad too, she asks Laura to buy her a strap-on from the sex shop, and Laura is like, okay, sure, I'll do you this one solid because I want you to get laid so bad. Laura's trying to be her wingman so as best she can. Bless her.
Bless her.
When she brings Alike the strap on, Alike tries it on and looks at herself in the mirror and is like, this feels so wrong. And part of this is because the only strap on that Laura was able to find was of, like, a white dick. And she's like
a veiny, ugly dick.
Yeah. And she's like, couldn't you have at least found a brown one? Like,
Then Laura's like, they were too big for you.
She's like, it wouldn't have been proportional, you see?
Oh my God.
It's so funny. And then, of course, Sharonda, Alike's little sister, comes in at that exact moment and is like, I'm going to tell mom.
I know.
Which, of course, she doesn't because she,
of course,
she really loves Alike and looks up to her.
Of course, but also
Alike does threaten her.
Yeah, she's like, if you tell her, I'll put the penis in your compact.
Yeah.
Oh my God, which was also a very good like sibling interaction scene.
Yes, their relationship is so funny to me, where it's like they hate really one another, good. But also they completely sweet. Love one another. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's a scene like towards the end of the movie where you can, I think it's after the like waiting on the couch in your lingerie scene where the parents start fighting, mm-hmm. and her sister gets into Alike's bed with her and they're like cuddling just for like comfort while they're hearing their parents fight, and her sister is like, you know, it doesn't matter to me, right? And I just thought that was like very, very sweet of like, I know you're gay and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like,
I love you anyway, even if you also drive me crazy because you're my big sister.
Right. Yeah. Even though you threatened to put your strap on in my makeup compact.
Yeah. Just to tie up the whole strap-on scene, she wears it to the club.
Yes, and she does not know.
she does not know the backpack hack. And she wears it to the club and
then she,
with
she
the girl
like,
that she has the crush on, and she's unable to dance because of it. And so the girl that like kind of liked her ends up just like dipping out and going to dance with other girls because Alike can't actually dance and have fun. So
I know. I just know. It was so funny. But it's like, how are you supposed to know that you don't keep it on? and then like Alike is at the club with Laura and she's like, it's like so uncomfortable, I have to take it off. And then Laura's like, but then what are you gonna do with the dick? You can't carry it around with you.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
And it's so funny, like, watching her transform from that, like, super awkward, not knowing anything, into seeing her at the end of the movie, where she, like, is really strong and stands up to herself when her parents are fighting, when she, like, recognizes that she shouldn't try to fight for Bina's affection, because Bina was just fucking around with her the whole time, and when she finally gets her English teacher's approval for a poem that she wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though I think, I mean, the thing with Bina, I think it's the like same kind of thing where I like that situation might break you, but it can also set you free. Cause like, what a hard way to learn that, like, damn, some people are fucking mean.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Bina?
Yeah. While we're on the subject, let's talk about Bina. First of all, can I say how great the music is in Bina's section of the movie?
Yes.
Because Bina really gets her own little section of this movie here. And she is very into, like, soft but very emotional rock. Kind of like Tracy Chapman-esque, honestly.
Yeah.
They bond over it.
Sapphic rock.
I know. Sapphic rock. It was very good. Bina, obviously, she's supposed to be the one to set Alike straight, right?
Oh, yeah.
But she herself, like, never lives up to that. But also, ultimately, she kind of does set Alike straight, but not heterosexual straight.
Yeah. It's always the church girls or the Catholic school girls. They're the ones who want to, like, go out and party.
You're so right. Yeah, I think that she's so convincing that she actually likes Alike. I feel like up until that morning when she's like, you need to leave.
Right.
Like I couldn't have predicted that.
No, I couldn't have predicted it either.
We're all put in the same position as Alike
honestly, like totally blindsided, because I think that like Alike was interested in Bina as a friend, but I don't know if she was necessarily like that interested in her, like until Bina showed interest in her, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like that was the reading of the movie I got.
Yeah. I think that that's fair.
Yeah, and so it just, like, I think it especially hurts that from the perspective of Alike would have never made a move on Bina, but Bina was like making moves, and then when Alike like reciprocated and they like did stuff together, then Bina was like, I've had enough and I don't want you anymore.
Yeah.
So rough.
And then she gets back with her boyfriend.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not gay, but someone who is gay is Laura.
Yeah.
I love Laura. I think that she's such a fun character and foil to Alike. As like,
I think so too.
Being the one who is more self-assured,
mm-hmm.
but also who has even more trauma and shit going on in her life.
Oh, yeah.
Due to the fact that her mother kicked her out after finding out that she was gay, and now she has to live barely able to pay any bills at all with her sister.
I know.
Having to drop out of school just to work.
Right.
And we see her studying for her GED constantly because she's trying the best she can, you know?
Oh, no.
And she, like Alike, just wants her mom's acceptance. Right. Like, we see her going to her mom's house to be like, hey, like... Yeah.
It's after she gets her letter saying that she passed her GED.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, I just wanted to show you that I did it. And her mom is, like visibly, like... disgusted by her. She recoils when like Laura approaches her. It's fucking awful.
Yeah. And Audrey, Alike's mom, also hates Laura. She's like, yeah. I don't want Alike to ever see Laura ever again. Like, I want them to stop being friends. And that's why she introduces her to Bina, who ends up only hurting her.
Right. Yeah. I know. Jesus. Yeah. And is like very rude to Laura too.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a time when Laura goes to Alike's house looking for her, and Alike's mom answers the door and is also like kind of the same way, like totally disgusted by the presence of Laura. And Laura's like, when she sees Audrey, is like, oh, you look really nice. And Audrey's not having it.
Yeah, Laura is so sweet to everybody, and so many people are just like cruel to her. Which is horrible. Yeah. And another thing about Laura is that she's very flirtatious. She has things going with so many different ladies.
Oh my God.
But she's also so serious in her love for Alike. And I have a question for you. Do you think that love is platonic, romantic, a little bit of both, transcendent?
Ooh. I don't know. When Alike goes to Laura to be like, here's my girlfriend, Bina. Like, I'm glad, like, we can catch up. Like, I want to see you more. And Laura's like, I want you to be happy. And also, I love you. I don't know. It did kind of feel romantic to me. But I do think it's kind of like a combination.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, when you're a teenage lesbian and you only have so many people in your life and you're just... I think it can be kind of like is, I don't know. I think it can go both ways of being romantic and friendship and kind of both at the same time.
That's why I say transcendent, right?
Transcendent is exactly the right word. Yeah.
Queer platonic, even.
But no, I did think that was... romantic.
Yeah. And my first thought in seeing that was like, oh my gosh, is this a love confession? And like, you can see that on Alike's face too. Like, is this a romantic confession? Like, I don't necessarily know.
Yeah. And she's totally preoccupied in it with that confession or just whatever it was in the next scene where Bina is very obviously like, are we going to do it? And Alike is like, I'm thinking about stuff.
just over here having my thoughts. I also think just like how rare to get even a hint at a mask lesbian relationship in something. Why do we never see that represented? It's always either the femme or the femme mask. Please.
People are afraid of masks.
We're hungry
lesbians.
For butches.
Yeah. It's gonna jokingly, we gotta watch Steven Universe.
There's not
a lot of mask for mask in that. There are some masks.
We have not watched a single thing that is mask for mask.
No, I don't think. What's out there?
What is out there? Somebody tell us, please.
I don't know.
We're in urgent need.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm gay.
I'm like scrolling our entire previously watched list. We've watched some things that have mask lesbians in them, such as What Keeps You Alive.
Oh.
Bound. Good.
Bound, yes. What Keeps You Alive is...
There's a massive... what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know. What kind of word are you looking for?
Dearth.
Dearth? Deficit?
Yeah, deficit. But it's not a deficit is when there's missing. But yeah, there is a deficit. There's a deficit of mask lesbian content. And I'm so glad the Pariah is here to help fill
me
that.
Me too.
What a great movie. Though I will say there also are a lot of international films that feature mask lesbians. Particularly, America has a fascination with femmes.
I think less of a fascination with femmes, perhaps, but I think also a fear of masculine women.
Yes, you're so right. And we're not going to watch Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. No, no. I can't do it. I've watched never three say never. Seasons of it. I can't watch Orange is the New Black again.
Oh, my God. I think I also watched into the third season. And I was like, I'm done. I'm sure we stopped watching for the same reason, actually.
Poussey.
Poussey. I can't fucking...
I can't with that show.
I can't with that show.
Okay.
Rage.
Yeah, all right. Now I'm just feeling angry. What else about Pariah?
I love this depiction of young teenage lesbians finding themselves.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it wasn't afraid to get a little bit messy too.
Yeah, me too. I found a lot of it like relatable and cathartic. In its relatability.
Totally.
Like not in a way that is like exhausting to relive shit, but in a way that is like solidarity, like, you know.
Yeah.
So,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stuff with Bina, too, I think that it works so well in a story like this because teenagers can be just so hot and cold like that,
mm-hmm.
and it just feels so true to life.
Yes. I buy everything in this movie.
I buy
movie.
Everything. Yeah. I'm sold. Even the hot and cold with Alike, like, spending all of her time with Laura, and then as soon as Bina is in her life and... seems to be somebody who she'd actually be interested in hanging out with. She, like, totally blows off Laura and the drama that ensues there.
And Laura is justifiably upset.
Yep.
And reactionary. Yeah. Yeah. All of that happens so quickly, too.
Yeah.
Like, just in a span of a few weeks, right?
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The scene, too, then when Alike comes, like, crawling back to Laura to try to, like, get some advice on what to do with Bina after Bina kisses her. And Laura is at her apartment with
poker.
A woman in her lap playing poker with other lesbians and is like, I don't have time for you. I am busy.
Yeah. But then after Bina breaks Alike's heart and Alike is kicked out, we see a shot of Alike running to Laura for comfort.
Yeah.
And Laura is just petting her hair
and
holding her head in her lap.
Because, of course, at the end of the day, you're ride or die.
I know. Oh, my God. Yeah, this movie's so good. Pulls at all of your heartstrings. I immediately... took something off of my top four favorite movies on Letterboxd and put this up because after watching it, I was like, this movie hits every single thing that I want to see in a movie where it's relatable. You buy it. You can find solidarity.
Really good characters, lesbians.
Yep. And you can
this
come
movie's
away.
Movie's got it all.
And you can come away not only knowing that Alike is stronger, but that you were stronger too, I feel like.
I know.
Yeah.
I will say sometimes movie poetry, especially if it's supposed to be like high school movie poetry, can be so bad. But the poetry in this is like just legitimately good and like tear jerking. And it's like, fuck, dude.
I know.
I'm not broken. I'm free, baby.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Pariah, I give my full like 100% recommendation to watch it. I think it's one of the best. I think it's the best movie that we've talked about on Gaze Gaze, honestly.
I agree. I agree.
And I think it's one of my personal favorite movies. And I just think that it's incredible. And what other movie can open with my neck, my back, and then make you weep at the end?
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And also, fuck, where is this lesbian bar?
A mythical Brooklyn lesbian bar.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for listening. If you feel like it, you can follow us on Twitter at GazeGaze. And there, you're free to slip into our DMs to give us thoughts, ideas, or recommendations. You can also email us at Erin@GazeGaze in order to, again, send us any thoughts you have. Do you know of any Butch, like, media content that we can consume? Please give us that recommendation. We want that. Also, if you like this podcast, please tell your friends about it. We always really appreciate that. You can also leave a review on Apple Reviews, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play Podcasts. I don't know. You know, the things. Many thanks to Kate and Leslie of Neon and Nude for allowing us to use their songs Look in Love and You Pretty Thing for our intro and our outro music. You can, and should, buy their album at neonandnude.bandcamp.com. But you can also stream it on Spotify, but they don't get hardly any money from that, so... next week, we're going to be doing Killing Eve Season 4.
Yeah, and I believe Hoops will be coming back.
Hoops?
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's my wife. That's my wife. We're friends. I was going to be like, that's my friend.
That's my wife.
I love Hoops.
I don't know. We all do.
We all love Hoops.
I'm so excited to do that with you. And then, after we do Killing Eve, then it's finally our time for Jupiter Ascending with Sammy. So.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Well, just so
Sammy's
excited.
Sammy's back. Woo.
Okie dokie. Well, I was about to say I love you, bye, but I forgot we've done the podcast.
All right. Well, until next week, I'm Erin.
And I'm Erin.
Whoa.
And we're gay. I love you. Goodbye.
Oh, that's the wrong words. You fucked it up. Just kidding. Mwah. If you love love like I love.